The scripture reading for today's sermon is John chapter 11, verses 1 through 46. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you. Are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." After saying these things, he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover." Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant taking rest and sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus has died, and for your sake, I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." So Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha had heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live, and everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, "The teacher is here and calling for you." And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did not I tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what he did, believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, it's good to see you. If you have been away for the summer, welcome back. The band's together. If you are new to Ann Arbor, welcome to you as well. It is good to be here together to seek the Lord and to hear from him. As we do that, will you pray with me? Now we come to you, our Father, and we are in need because we want to hear from you, but for this it takes more than a human voice. It takes the Spirit of God speaking to us, to our hearts. And so only you can do this, and we ask that you would have mercy upon us, see our need, that you would be faithful to your word and to your promises, and that you would speak to us through your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Ever wanted to meet a famous person? I bet many of you have. Now, I don't mean just to get your pic with them, like my son used to do with soccer stars a decade ago, Cristiano Ronaldo and all kinds of people like that. Those are just trophy case encounters. I'm talking about meeting a famous person and sitting down and talking and getting a window into who they are. So Eric, Jim, and I last fall went to hear Sinclair Ferguson teach a class on union with Christ. And we had lunch with him, and what an opportunity that was. He was, as you would expect, humble, wise, gracious, willing to open up and talk. And that's kind of what we've been doing in the last several weeks as we've been going through Jesus' I am sayings in the Gospel of John. Listening into Jesus as he opens up to tell us who he is. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And telling us not only who he is, but what he's about. And so we have two more sessions. Next week is I am the vine, and today I am the resurrection and the life. So how we're going to do this? First, we'll look at the situation, the larger story that these words of Jesus occur in. Secondly, we'll zero in on Jesus and the very words that he spoke. I am the resurrection and the life. And in the third place, we'll look for what kind of response did he hope to elicit from these words? And then we'll zero in on you as we close together. So we begin with the larger story, the situation, what was happening here. This will take a minute. But it begins with a certain man was ill. Now, lots of people become ill. But this was not just any man. This certain man was one with whom Jesus had a personal relationship. Lazarus had a special claim on Jesus' attention and affection. The sisters said in verse 3, "Lord, the one whom you love, the one whom you love, this one is ill." In verse 4, we get a surprise. But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. It's for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Wait a minute. Lazarus did die. This illness does not lead to death. Lazarus was not spared the experience of death. His family and friends experienced all the trauma, all the pain, all the grief. Didn't Jesus care what they were going to have to go through? Was he untouched by their grief? Well, that's not the case at all. Verse 33, as the family and friends were weeping, it says Jesus was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And two verses later, it says that Jesus himself wept. Yes, he was touched to his inner being by this grief. And zoom out for a minute. Not just in this story, but even now, today, Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever, this Jesus feels all that we feel. He has experienced the griefs, the traumas, and for him, the memory is ever fresh, and he now knows your pain and what you face and what you're in the middle of. Yes, he knows, he sympathizes with our weaknesses, Hebrews 4. But what was Jesus saying here then? This illness does not lead to death. He's saying that I have a greater purpose than the immediate comfort of those involved. The glory of God required this suffering, because if Lazarus didn't die, he couldn't be resurrected. And this resurrection was necessary to show the power of God, the faithfulness of God, the mercy of God, to show the glory of God and of the Son of God who would personally perform this resurrection. Lazarus, come forth. There was more at stake here than the tears and grief that the family and the friends were going to go through for a few days. This was about God's glory. But Lazarus didn't know this, and Mary didn't know this, and Martha didn't know this at the time. They were going to move into this situation having to trust God without seeing, having to trust Jesus without knowing what would happen, only that Lazarus was dying and then was dead. Jesus knew, Jesus loved, but he had other purposes, greater purposes at work in this crisis. And to erase any tinge of doubt, look at the next verse. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. This was not haphazard. This was not random. This was not without feelings what Jesus was about to do. And yet we have this remarkable statement in the very next verse. Remember, it just said Jesus loved them. And then it says, so when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. He didn't spring into action. He didn't go to help. He didn't go to heal. When he loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus, and therefore on that basis, because of that, he stayed 2 days longer, during which time Lazarus would die. Such intellectual dissonance. How can this be? And yet, here we are. It's where we live. How often have we concluded that Jesus' silence in response to our prayers means that he doesn't hear, he doesn't care, he's not answering? It wasn't true then. It's not true now. Jesus loved, so when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer. Well, verse 7, Jesus says, let's go to Judea again. And the disciples objected, verse 8. Had they forgotten about a Lazarus? But at any rate, they objected because they were mainly concerned about Jesus at risk, his safety, And they were concerned about them, their risk, and their safety. They said, hey, in Judea, the Jews are waiting to stone you, and you're going to go there again? And Jesus responds to their concern about this walking into the risk situation. And he says, while I am doing God's will, I will never lack God's protection. Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, outside of God's will, he stumbles because the light is not in him. If we go to fulfill the will of God, we are, as George Whitefield once said, immortal until my work is done. The goal of Jesus was not to eliminate all risks. It was yet to move forward, but not to operate in fear. Yes, we will expose ourselves, we will immerse ourselves in the risks, and yet we will not operate in fear, because the goal is not to live risklessly. The goal is to walk in the day where God would have us. Well, verse 11, Jesus responded, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him. That's kind of like an aside, yet it's the main point of what Jesus was about there. Lazarus is asleep. We will awaken him, this gentle metaphor for death. Disciples didn't get it. Verses 12 through 15, they said, hey, if he's fallen asleep, he will recover. But Jesus had spoken of his death. They thought he meant rest in sleep. So Jesus told them plainly, straight up, Lazarus has died. And for your sake, I'm glad I was not there. Oh, here we go again. I'm glad he died and that we weren't there to stave off that death. Even with the pain? Yes. And Jesus already explained this was for the glory of God, and now he gives a second reason. I'm glad I wasn't there so that you may believe. Why does this happen? Why is Lazarus allowed to die? And all that surrounds that, so that you may believe, for the glory of God and for the increase in your faith. Thomas responds, verse 16, with more emotion than logic, let us also go that we may die with him. I mean, Jesus has just said, if we walk in the day, we will not stumble, but he didn't hear that. And he misses the fact that Jesus had to die as the Lamb of God. But regardless, Thomas was loyal and faithful, and that was good. Well, verse 17, Jesus comes to Bethany, and he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. So Jesus gets there at least 4 days late, to all appearances. Well, Martha, the woman of initiative, the woman of action, comes to him, verse 21, she says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. That seems to be a response of faith, doesn't it? Jesus, if you'd been here, this wouldn't have happened. But yet, she does not understand what Jesus was about. Jesus was aiming at something higher, something way bigger than preventing this immediate situation, but it was going to take some time to play out. She went on to say, but even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. I mean, this is Martha. Not so long ago, Luke 10, at the dinner party at her house, she was scolding Jesus for not making her priorities his priorities. But here she says, now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. So she has grown in faith. Maybe she was even saying, you know, I'm up for a miracle if that's what you're about to do. Jesus responds, verse 23, your brother will rise again. There's some ambiguity in that, right? Will he, is Jesus saying he will rise again at the last day? Or is this something that's going to happen in the moment? And Martha says, I know that he will rise in the resurrection on the last day. And Jesus says, I am the resurrection. He doesn't say, I will be the resurrection for Lazarus in the last day. This is present tense right now in the immediacy of the moment. I am the resurrection and the life. We'll come and talk about that some more. Martha calls Mary. Mary comes, verse 32, and says the exact same thing that Martha had said. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Again, real faith. And so, verse 33, Mary's weeping, and the Jews who are with her are weeping, and Jesus, in verse 35, weeps as well. Again, see how Jesus responds to the people involved in the situation. You might think when Jesus says, this is for the glory of God, that he's thinking like on a cosmic scale. We're about big plans here, which we are. But he is not removed from the persons and the individuals. And he is similarly situated now. Though this is for the glory of God, their tears, their cries deeply trouble him, and he weeps with them as he does now. And if you're weeping this morning, and if you're worried this morning, Jesus feels it with you because he cares. He gets us. Verse 38, Jesus comes to the cave. He asks the stone to be taken away. Martha says, that's going to stink. But Jesus says, if you believed, you would see the glory of God. I told you that a minute ago. And then Jesus prays to the Father, says three things. I thank you that you have heard me, even though it hadn't happened yet. But it is as good as done. I know you always hear me. And I said that so that the people would believe that Lazarus's coming forth was in response to the activity of God, the intervention of God in this situation. And then verse 43, Jesus commands, and Lazarus comes out. The resurrection and the life speaks, and Lazarus lives. Well, there's the story that is. This saying is embedded in. Let's move from the situation to Jesus. What did Jesus say? Verses 25 and 26. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? So Martha has faith. We've seen that already. And she believes in the resurrection at the last day, and she believes that God answers Jesus' requests. But Jesus has something more to say to her, something far more. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. I speak not just of the resurrection as a future event, not just about the resurrection as a certainty that's far off, but I personally, as I stand before you, I am the resurrection. In fact, in the original here, there's an extra personal pronoun. He says, essentially, I myself am the resurrection and the life. Not just there will be a resurrection, but I am the resurrection. And then notice also that Jesus uses this phrase, I am. That name by which God had revealed himself to Moses, Exodus 3, at the burning bush. Moses says, so who are you? I need to tell, if I'm going to go back to the Israelites captive in Egypt, I need to tell who you are. What's your name? And he says, God says, I am. I am the self-existent deity. I depend on no one to remain in existence. God does not need air to breathe. He does not need food to eat, water to drink, immunity to shield him from disease to continue his existence. I am. I am. He is uncreated. He is always God. And that's what Jesus is saying. I too, I am. Not that I've come to be, not that I will be, not that I'm in process. And this is why Jesus can be the resurrection and the life, because he himself is God, the creator, not created. And notice that Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Not that he shares the essence of resurrection, or he's one of many deities who can give life, or he's the sort of being who has this kind of life nature. He is the only, the original, the source of resurrection and life. They start from me and move outward from there. Well, let's look at each of those a bit. I am the resurrection. Whoever believes in me, though he dies, yet shall he live. What does it mean that he is resurrection? Well, just that, the second half of verse 25. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Die? Then live again, if you believe in Jesus. That's resurrection. If you die, you will live again if you believe in Jesus. Yes, you may die physically. You will die physically. Your earthly human bodily existence will end, but if you believe in me, you will live again. Death is inescapable, but it is not ultimate. It is not the last word. You watch a movie and you come to the end, and there's right up on the screen, the end. You read a book and you flip the last page, the end. That means all has been told. There is no more. Death is not the end for the one who believes in Jesus. Believer, though you die, yet you shall live. This is resurrection. This is what it means for Jesus to be the resurrection. Your future resurrection does not depend on you, what you do, how you hope. Your future resurrection depends on Jesus. I am the resurrection. He will raise you if you believe in him. I am the resurrection and I am the life. What does this mean? First part of verse 26. Everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Resurrection, die, live again. The life, live and never die. In other words, the one who believes in Jesus is given a life that never dies. When you are born again, you are given from him who is life, you are given a new life. And this new life is eternal life. It's life from above. This is real life. This is never-ending life. Oh, you will die physically, for it is appointed to man to die once, Hebrews 9. The breath will cease. The brain waves will stop. But your physical death cannot extinguish the life that Jesus has given you if you believe in him. Yes, you will leave this world. You will leave your family. You will leave your friends. You will leave your lover and spouse. But death is transition. It is your doorway to glory. It's your free pass to be with Jesus. Where I am, there you may be also. In Acts 17, it says that your life and my life, the life of every creature, constantly depends on God, for he gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And again, it says, in him we live and move and have our being. In other words, God sustains our existence at every moment. We remain alive. We remain in existence only because God has his finger on the pulse. He's supplying continued existence to us. But in John 5, Jesus says, I have life in myself. Not sustained by an outer force, but Jesus himself has life in himself. He depends on no one, no thing for his continued existence. Fire needs fuel to continue to burn, or else the fire goes out. But Jesus is like the burning bush in Exodus 3. And the bush burned and burned and burned, but the bush was not consumed. Well, what was burning? It was a self-fueled burning. And so it is with Jesus. He supplies, he has life in himself, and he doesn't burn out if there's not enough fuel. Eternal life. One more thing about this saying. Did you notice that the topic of conversation all along had been dead Lazarus? And what's going to happen to dead Lazarus? Martha wants to know. And Jesus is saying that dead Lazarus is not the main issue. Jesus is. We're talking about Lazarus, and we're talking about resurrection. He will rise the last day. And Jesus kind of interrupts and says, I am the resurrection and the life. What we need to talk about is not the fate of Lazarus so much as, do you believe in me? I am what you need. The creator of life, the sustainer of life, the giver of life, the source of life, life himself, I am. So we've talked about the situation, talked about Jesus. Now let's talk about responding to Jesus. How did Jesus want Martha to respond? How does Jesus want us to respond? Well, the last bit of this statement, whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? And throughout this story, Jesus has been laser focused on faith. Back in verse 15, he said to his disciples, for your sake, I'm glad I wasn't here so that you may believe. Now, even though this will cause you a heavy load of suffering, Jesus is glad because he wants you to believe. It will be so worth it if you can just come to have faith in Jesus. And right here in this passage, do you believe this? He asks Martha. In verse 40, to Martha again at the tomb, when she's saying it's going to smell if we open that tomb up, he says, didn't I tell you that if you just believed, you would see the glory of God? And then in his prayer to the Father, he says, I say this out loud so the people will hear and believe that you sent me. Laser focused on faith. Jesus did not answer Martha's concern about Lazarus. Will it be a resurrection then or something else? Because of who Jesus was and what Jesus could do was so much a bigger concern than Lazarus's resurrection. I am the resurrection and the life. Of course, Lazarus's raising validated everything Jesus was asserting. It was of great importance. But believing in Jesus was central. Did you notice that in Jesus' statement, I'm the resurrection and the life, he says it twice. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And he says it again. Redundant? No, the main point. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. What is this believing? The language is really interesting. It's believe, then it uses the preposition into. Believe into. He that believes into me. This language is never used in classical Greek. It's never used in the Greek version of the Old Testament, the Septuagint. It's never found in the papyri, which are, you know, written on disposable medium, letters, commercial transactions, popular literature, never used, only in the New Testament and mainly in John. What does it mean? And it's not believe that, he that believes that I am the resurrection, not just believing that something is true and factual, but it's like believe in. It's believe in someone as the object of my faith and making a commitment to that person. Kind of like, I believe in my team leader or my boss. Sometimes she makes mistakes. Sometimes she lets me down, but she's a good leader and I'm loyal to her. I believe in her. Or maybe a better example, I believe in my wife. She's fallible. She's not perfect, but I'm committed to her and I believe she is committed to me. And unlike my relationship to my boss, you get screwy, I might quit and find another job. I won't get tired of her. I won't quit on her. I won't give up on her. This is a till death do us part covenant relationship. He that believeth in me. He that believes that I am who I say I am, that I can do what I say I can do, and believing that, I am his, and he is mine. I belong to Jesus, and what I want more than anything is to know him and be found in him. I commit myself to Jesus. And that's what Jesus' question is to Martha. Do you believe this? And so we come to the final point. The moment you've all been waiting for. You, now, do you believe? So, like, we're all in different places, right? So what are the big issues you're facing? A crisis? A coming school year? Relationship issues? What fears are overwhelming you? What weighs you down? What threatens you? What boxes you in? Martha faced something very significant. Her brother's on the cusp of death. Listen to what Jesus said to Martha in that situation. There's something more important than your current crisis. I am the resurrection and the life. You need me more than you need help. You need me more than you need an exit out of the situation. Because if you have me, you have everything. You have all you need for now and forever, in life and in death, in your greatest suffering and stress. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. So here's the question. Do you believe this? You need Jesus more than you need a change in your circumstances. Of course, the question is, what will Jesus do for you in your crisis? And he may not eliminate your suffering right now. I don't know. He does. But if he doesn't, it's for a more important objective, for the glory of God, that you may believe, because he's doing things in you and for you. I am the resurrection and the life. Will you believe in him? Let's pray. Father, we commit ourselves to the Lord Jesus. And we confess our faith and our hope are wavering, sometimes up, sometimes down. But we do believe that he is the one whom we need. He has the answers. He has the solutions. But we need not just those answers, but we need him for now and for eternity. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.